Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians chapter 4, and really had a lot of ideas about the title of the sermon, but really the thought was the four W's of the mature believer. And hopefully as you go through this, you'll recognize some things that we all need to be doing better and some things that God's convicted us to be faithful in. And maybe you've done all these in the past, but let this new year be the best year ever for our walk in Christ Jesus. Again, while you're turning there, let me say thank you for letting me go on vacation, and thank you even more for letting me come back. I appreciate that so much. And so it is good to go and recharge and reflect and have a great time. Here's what the Bible says, Colossians chapter 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Father, we come before you. We say thank you for your grace and your mercies. We pray every week, Lord, you've been so good to us. And Lord, even in this past year, and you've gotten us through to this point. Lord, I pray that you would take us to a point that we may serve you with all that we are. Lord, I pray for the word this morning that you would convict us and guide us and lead us in that we may stand up and be counted, that we may share the mystery of Christ to those around us. Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, that you would just bring us to a point of obedience and doing what you've called us to do. Thank you for your promise, Lord, that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. When I went to school when I was a little boy, which would have been some time ago now, they focused on the three R's of education: reading, writing, and arithmetic, or reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, today I want to speak to you about the four W's of the mature believer, to recognize that we as God's people need to grow in the things that he has placed. And I think the book of Colossians really speaks about this mature believer that we all should be. And so hopefully this morning you'll get this idea of what God wants you to do and say as you leave this place. Well, the first W is believers should wrestle in prayer. Wrestle in prayer. No, I know wrestling does not start with an R. It starts with a W. And we need to recognize that God has called us to be faithful in prayer. One of the greatest things we can do as believers is pray. So notice verse 2. He says, continue in prayer. Now, most of us know what prayer is. And that is just a simple time of communication with the Father above. A simple time of speaking with the Lord above. All through the Bible, we had this idea of prayer. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And so we ought to continue in prayer, as the Bible says. But I want to kind of break that in a little closer. And when you get down to the nitty-gritty, matter of fact, when you go back to the Greek, and I don't want to get too fancy here, but the idea of continue is a little different word than we think. It means, yes, to continue, but really in the Greek, with intense effort. It means to devote yourself with every possible strength that you have. And so when he says continue in prayer, he doesn't mean, just pray like you've been praying. He means devote yourself to prayer, continue in prayer, be instant in prayer, be faithful in prayer with all that you are. Now, I think about our lives today, and really there's two types of prayer pictured here in this particular passage that we can take something from. Yes, there's lots of ways to pray, but here's two particular prayer pictures in this passage. One is the idea of perseverance, and the other is preparation. One is going through a battle, or the other one's getting ready for battle. So notice verse 3. Here's a prayer of perseverance. At the end of the verse, well, let me just read the whole verse. Verse 3 says, with all praying also for us, that we would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Listen to this. For which I am also in bonds. Paul writes from prison cell. He's saying, pray for me. I am under bondage. I am in prison. I am bound down. And I think today as believers, we're good in that area. When things begin to unfold in our lives, when things are hard, when things begin to be scary a little bit, we begin to pray. I'm just going to confess, my wife went to children's church, so I'm safe here. She drove back home this week, amen, and we all prayed a little bit. And so when we worry about the things that are going to take place, when life is not good, when there's a death, when there's an illness, when there's financial burdens, when there's marital issues, in the midst of the battle, we pray. And that is a good thing. But let me remind you what I pray before we get in those situations and hard times. I keep thinking about Jonah. When you read Jonah in the Old Testament, remember Jonah's the guy that got swallowed by the great fish or the whale, whichever one you want to call there. When Jonah was swallowed, the end of chapter 1, beginning in chapter 2, he was swallowed, but then it says, and 3 days later, Jonah then prayed. Let me tell you, Paul Osteen been praying the first time I hit the water, amen? We should be a people that don't delay in prayer, that we should start and we should pray immediately about all things. But Paul speaks about being in bondage, but really there's another kind of prayer that he's also speaking about, not just our perseverance, but now a time of preparation. Go back to verse 3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. He's saying, pray for me because I'm fixing to get ready to do something for the cause of Christ. Pray for me because I'm getting ready to do what God's called me to do. And here's where I think this new year comes in for us. I'm telling you, we ought to pray as individuals, as a church, as a community. Lord, let us live out our faith like never before. Let us stand up and be counted. Let us utterance those things that you called us to be. So I wonder today, are we truly praying as we should? So the question is, what are you praying fervently for this year so that you can be used by God? Let me say a remark here. Maybe you may not like this, but I wonder if you prayed more for your football team to win this year than you have to win somebody for Christ Jesus. I wonder, have you prayed more for the material things in life than you have praying for somebody to enter into heaven's great glory? I'm telling you, we got to change our prayer lives. We got to change things around so that we're praying, yes, for the times of perseverance, but also for the preparation to be used by an almighty God. I look back in my life, and I think you'll agree with your life. Sometimes there's things that keep us from praying. If you look around the world today, I think you'll understand that sometimes people don't pray for different reasons. Well, it may be perspective. You know, it may be that some people, and not in this audience, I'm sure, that they just don't believe in prayer. They don't believe in God, and so they don't pray as they should because they just don't believe. I read an interesting thing, statistic, that they did some, testing or calling or checking on people. And they said, even for atheists, when things go wrong, 80% of atheists pray when life turns upside down. There's just something in us that wants to call out to God, even if they don't believe. And so there's a perspective, well, I don't need to pray. Maybe you're not praying because nothing's going wrong in your life right now. Maybe you're praying because everything's fine and good. Maybe you're not praying today because there's distractions in your life. We get caught up in life. We get busy. We get selfish with our time. Let me just remind you, some people say, I don't have time to pray like that. You don't have time not to pray like that. We got to back up and understand our call to prayer and what it means to be in tune with the Lord. So you say, well, why pray? Let me give you a quick 6 reasons. One, there's a proclamation given to prayer. Over and over in the Bible, the Lord says, pray. Luke chapter 18, 1, and he spake a parable unto men to this end, that men ought to always pray and faint not. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, I've already read this, but be careful in nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. All through the Bible, there is a demand or a command given that we should pray. Now, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I wonder how much this past week you have truly got before the Lord in prayer. Now, I'm at an advantage to you. I knew I was going to preach this, and so I had a chance to look back at my prayer life. It is not nearly what it should be. I'm just confessing my sin before you. I should be more of a prayer warrior than anybody in this room. We surely have been commanded to pray. But secondly, the reason to pray is there's a pointed direction. God gives us guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When you read that whole picture there, you understand that the psalmist or the proverb writer is a man of prayer, and that we should be a people that pray so God gives us direction. Hey, if you're fixing to make a decision that will affect your life for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years, why not take an hour and pray? If you're going to make a decision that will affect you for a long time, why not take some time and pray over that instead of entering into a covenant or entering into a marriage or entering into a financial thing? Take some time and pray, and God will give you direction. Thirdly, it gives us power. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, Acts 4:38, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were. When they prayed, the building, the foundation where they were, was shaken with the power of God. You want to live for God this year? You ought to pray. You want to live for God like never before? Pray and let him shake your very foundation. Let him give you strength and power to overcome. Let him do mighty things in you which would come by prayer. Fourthly, prayer gives us peace. Philippians 4:7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, the world today is looking for peace like never before. They're trying to find it in relationships and in a bottle and pills. They're trying to find peace to shut out the world. I'm telling you, if they would pray, if we would pray, the peace of God would flood our souls. Why? Remember that power I just spoke about? When you begin to pray, you tap into the power of God, and you hear that little voice saying, it's going to be okay. I've got this. Man, how good it is to pray. Then fifthly, there's patience. In prayer, we are delivered and helped so we can be patient with others. Now, let me just tell you, I look for scripture. I mean, I've been looking. I've got my concordance. There is no place in the Bible where prayer and patience is in the same verse. I mean, I've looked. But know this, when you pray about situations, God gives you patience. I was praying about something the other day, about somebody, and I needed patience, and the Lord just kept whispering, you are just like that. You ought to be a little more patient. Having trouble with somebody in your relationship, in your office, or let me tell you, if the Lord had been patient with you, recognize you can be patient with others. And it's in that prayer time that God whispers and gives us patience. Perhaps this is the best one, is the last one, number six. Personal relationship with the Lord is strengthened. Here's what I wrote yesterday. You can know all about God through your Bible, but you will never truly know God until you pray. You can hear about him and read about him and listen to grandma or grandpa or your parents speak about him or the preacher preach about him. But you will never truly know God until you pray fervently unto him. It's that one-on-one time when God speaks to us. So that's the why of prayer. But now there's the ways of prayer. And I don't want to get too bogged down in this. I've got a lot of stuff. I'll just give you the meat of this. There's the poise of prayer. God calls us to pray in a certain way. And that is with confidence. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, when you come before the Lord, know it's in the name of Christ. You pray with confidence and see what God does, trusting him. So many times we're praying for the wrong thing. That's why we don't have confidence. We need to pray in the name of Christ. We need to pray with confidence, and we will simply hear what God has to say for us. Then there's the posture pray. How can we pray? Many times people pray with their hands folded or standing. Notice this. John chapter 17, 1, Christ stood when he prayed. Luke 22, 41, Christ kneeled when he prayed. Matthew 26, 39, Christ is on his face on the ground when he prayed. We find in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon kneeling. We find in 1 Kings 18, Elijah praying with his face between his knees. David prays while in bed in Psalm 63, 6. Hezekiah did the same thing with his face to the wall in bed, weeping in 2 Kings chapter 20. Peter, taking some swimming lessons in a hurricane, began to pray, amen. You remember he was walking on the sea and began to sink a little bit? Y'all a little slow this new year, amen. And then finally, the thief, dying on the cross, prayed. He said, remember me, Lord. A simple prayer that saved his soul by the Redeemer on the cross. I wonder, will we pray this year like never before? Somebody said, well, I need a place to pray. Well, there's the prayer clause that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. There's a prayer closet that we need. It can be just in a quiet spot. He may be not talking about a literal closet, but a quiet spot, a one-on-one time. You know, if you're married and you don't have any one-on-one time with your spouse, you probably got a problem there. I wonder how much intimacy you have with the Lord above in that small, quiet spot called a prayer closet. Well, then there's the house of prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 21, he said, it is written, my house should be called a house of prayer. I wonder today, will we gather together on a regular basis and pray? You probably didn't know all this. There have been many prayers already been made this morning. There was a prayer back there with a group of guys. There was a prayer earlier this morning with a group of deacons. There was a prayer in this room right here. There was a prayer that's already been uttered from this stage. And there'll be some more prayers. This is a house of prayer where we communicate with our Father above. And you ought to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day as we pray together as one body. Hopefully you'll agree at this point that we all need to be a people of prayer. If you believe that, would you say amen? Amen. We ought to be a people of prayer. But now there's some don'ts of prayer, and I'll quickly get to that. Matthew said this, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they should be heard for their much speaking. Quickly, I just want you to know, vain repetitions are not what God desires. It's this same prayer that we've memorized. You know, it's good to teach our kids to pray. I've taught my kids to pray. I know my grandkids are learning to pray. God is great and God is good. Let us thank him for it. You know the prayer. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But how strange would that be if maybe a deacon got up here to say the closing prayer and said, God is great, God is good. Let us thank you for our food. Wouldn't that be odd? See, you need to start, but don't be a vain repeater of prayer. Speak what's on your heart to the Father. Speak those things that you want to simply say to him. You don't have to have a flowery prayer. Matter of fact, he speaks about much speaking. I love Nehemiah when he utters a prayer. You remember Nehemiah's story? There was a problem with the place in Jerusalem, and Nehemiah wanted to fix back the walls. He wanted to get God's people back like they should be. He was working for a king, and the king had all power and authority. And the king said, what's wrong, Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4 says this. And the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? Listen to this. So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king. You hear how quick that prayer is? The king said, what do you want? He said, Lord, help me say the right words. King, here's what I need. In that simple, small request, God heard and God answered. I wonder, will we get back to praying like we should? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Again, prayer is the simple time of communication with the Lord. Will you commit to praying more this year? Will you make a time and place to pray fervently this year like never before? I sure hope so. Well, here's the second W, and these will move pretty quick. Not only should believer wrestle in prayer, but believers should now walk in perspective. So he says in verse 5, walk in wisdom. That word walk is peripateo, and I don't want to get too fancy, but peripateo is two words. I mean, peri means to walk around, and pateo means to trample on or tread. All he's saying is when you walk, you're living out your life as you go. You're going to leave here, you're going someplace, back home, to this place, and hopefully next week you're making your circle back. So he's saying, walk or live out your life. Let me remind you, as you walk, there's kind of three speeds of a Christian. One is to be still. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And so there's times when we got our foot on the brake. We're being still and we're communicating with God and we're speaking in prayer and he's speaking to us. We're still. I'm convicted this week. I sometimes realize, like, sometimes we didn't have some service in the mountains with our cell phones. And that's a dangerous thing, amen? When your kids can't get service on their cell phone, it is not a good time. I'm the same way. I'm finding that I spend so much time not being still. I'm always want to be entertained with a radio, entertained with a computer, entertained with a cell phone, entertained with all these other things in life, with a TV. Let's take some time and be still this next year and listen to see what God has for us to say. The second thing is walking in faith. Our next speed is moving forward. By the way, there's never a verse. There's never a neutral. It's either still or walking. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Just walking forward, moving forward. Colossians 2, 6, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So we're always moving forward. If you're not stopped, you ought to be moving forward. Then lastly, there's running. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I wonder, are we walking as we should? Or are we moving forward as we should? Or have we put a reverse on our life? If you have done that, if you have turned the wrong way, if you've gotten out of sync with God, take some time this morning, confess that sin and say, Lord, let this be the best year that I'm still, that I'm walking, that I'm running for your cause. That's what he wants. That's what we need. So we're walking, and so verse 5 again says, walk in wisdom. Let me remind you where wisdom comes from. James chapter 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it should be given him. Remember what I just said? Walking in wisdom, wisdom comes from prayer, and we should be a prayerful people. So here's what I think he's saying. Live out your life that you have prayed about. Have you ever just rushed into things? You may get up in the morning and be late for work or late for this, and you're running to and yonder and fro and here. You're rushing there and rushing there, never taking the time to pray before you enter into those things. Live out your life as you have prayed about it. Then he says this, notice this, redeeming the time in verse 5. Walk in wisdom to them without, redeeming the time. That word redeeming means to take full advantage of opportunity, to make good of every opportunity. Paul's reminding them and us that they had wasted much time enslaved to selfish pursuits of the world instead of doing the work of God. I think we'd all be guilty if we look back at our life that many of us have not redeemed every moment for the Lord. We have used some things, some time that has not simply put us as we should be. I wonder, will we waste time or use it better this next year? We need to cut out the things that Christ cannot be glorified in. If you're doing something and God cannot get the glory for it, you ought to stop that. You ought to redeem the time. If you're doing something that pulls you away from Christ, you ought to cut out that and redeem the time. You ought to cut out the things that can't help others glorify the Lord. Redeem the time. Let the things you do be done in Christ's name. Well, here's the third thing. We are to wrestle, we are to walk, but thirdly, we are to witness with our words. Verse 5 again says, walk in wisdom. Notice this, toward them that are without. In other words, to the lost folks, to the people that don't know about Christ, to those that are outside the body of believers. Verse 6 says, let your speech be always the grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. How many of you like salt? Amen, I do. Man, I like to cook, I like to eat, and I like my food to be salty. So I kept thinking, well, what's he saying here? Salt your words because you may have to eat them. No, that's not really what he's saying. But salt your words that others may be able to receive them. Now, I know sometimes you got to speak the hard truth. You gotta speak with salt, and that's the words of truth, and it purifies. Sometimes you speak with salt that gives words of love and preserves. And sometimes you gotta speak the words of salt that gives flavor, like encouragement. But you ought to recognize that God uses you and me to help others see Him. How do you interact with other people? Is what He's saying. Interact with them in such a way with your seasoned words that they see Christ. I have a preacher friend, and you may know him, but I'm not going to say his name. He was in a parking lot sometimes. He was preaching at a different church and had a run-in with somebody. I don't know how it took place, but the person got irate with him over a shopping cart or something. Anyway, there were some things. I don't know what the whole story. All I do know is the next week he was in a different church preaching, and that person that he had the run-in with was in the service. And you can imagine the shock that was to both of them. I wonder, and I often ask myself this, if I interact with this person a certain way, and they were to come and sit with it, could I lead them to the Lord, or will I turn them off right then? I wonder, will we be seasoned with salt when we speak to people this next year? Not selfishly, though self wants to come out at times, but in such a way that we point them to Christ, that you could say, follow me as I follow Him. I know we're all in a position sometimes when that just the flesh wants to come out, but we should be about that. Will others hear from you this week about the Savior? Will others hear from you about what God's doing in your life, or will it be about something else? Are you turning people away or turning them to the Lord? Well, here's the last thing. We are to wrestle, we are to walk, we are to witness, but lastly, we are to watch for Christ's return. Go back to verse 2 again, continue in prayer, and notice this, and watch in the same. You say, oh, Brother Paul, he's just saying, watch for answered prayer, and that's right. That's right. But what is the greatest prayer of all time? I know it's to save us, yes, but for the mature believer, what is the greatest prayer of all time? I think that may be found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, the next to the last verse in the Bible. Let me read it to you. He which testifies these things saith, surely come quickly, amen. Even so, here's the prayer, come, Lord Jesus. You know what we ought to be doing? Watching for Jesus' return. Jesus said in Matthew 24, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 25, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh. 2 Timothy 4, 5, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Then finally, the Hebrew writer says this, looking, or you could say watching, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I wonder, are we looking toward that great day? Are we watching for Christ's return? Let me tell you, He's going to come back one day. And you're going to be watching Him with your life filled with sin on that day of judgment. Are you going to be watching for His return with a life of victory because Christ has saved you from that sin? How will your life see Him on that day when He comes again? I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. Somebody read a poem, Lord, teach me how to love and live, that I may cheer each heart, and to my fellow man in need, some blessing rich impart. I think the writer got that right when he speaks about giving back to others, living a life of faith, and the greatest thing we can give is the goodness of God in our life and the good word that He has for us. Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. You've never accepted Christ, and this message may not have meant sense to you. Why not let today be the day of salvation? In prayer, call upon Him and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Believing by faith, He'll make that so in your life. Why not make that public this morning? Just walk down the aisle and say, Brother Paul, I just got saved, or I made a decision at some point and need to make that public. For others of you, you're a believer, but your life's not what it should be. You're not doing the four W's of that mature believer in your life. Why not commit to that today? Why not say, Lord, I will do these things? Maybe it's church membership this morning. God's called you to be faithful in this house to live out your faith. Maybe it's prayer at this altar for a need in your life or somebody else's. I'm telling you, there's a God that hears and a God that is able to answer. I wonder, will you come? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all these things. Lord, I pray that we would live out our faith. We would live out you, O Lord, in our life. I pray that you'd stir us, move us, convict us, guide us in this next year. Let it start today. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. Bless your word now in Jesus' name.